There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySgirls through December 31. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls.
I'm not flipping tables, but I might flip the bird.
I'm a fresh of breath there. But get fresh with me and you won't get this love, love, love.
I can't. And you know what I was thinking before you got here is I've never, ever thought about having her on the podcast because the pod's about psychology. But like,
right.
She might actually love it because she's all about love, love, love. So this is as close as I'm going to get.
Well, get all your questions in now.
Because we need to know, you know, use this time, you know.
Oh, my, this is going to be, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be one of my favorite episodes of the year. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 570-something, Leave Me Alone. And I'm so excited to be joined by somebody who I watched again on Watch What Happens Live this morning to prep, to inspire. It really was one of the best bartender gigs. And think how many episodes they've done. 7 million? Ugh. Like genuinely a prestige performance, a prestige episode because of the way that this guest was threaded through the entirety of the episode. That's not normal. That's a rare, rare occurrence. So welcome, first time in the clawfist, comedian, impressionist, actress, host of the podcast Big Wigs, and someone who knows Teresa quite well, Andrea Lopez. Andrea, how are we?
Oh my God, we are so good. Thank you so much for having me in the clawfist. I can't even tell you, I'm obsessed with the clawfist. Your words mean everything to me. I didn't really realize the gravity of the show. No, I knew the gravity of Watch What Happens. I mean, I didn't know the gravity of like my appearance. I thought I did great. I had so much fun. But watching it back, it really sunk in and hit me. I said, oh my God, I am fulfilling a lifelong dream to be on in the clubhouse.
I was immediately obsessed with you and started writing an email to you.
You were so quick.
I didn't even finish watching the episode. I was like,
you were so
what's
quick.
What's your schedule? What's your availability?
Do Let me tell you guys, you're on it because you were the first one to come in. It was like, boom, boom, boom. I checked. I refreshed my email probably to find out about my Bloomingdale's points or something. And boom, there you were. And I said, yes, I'm going.
So I actually thought you were LA based because you give me like actress, you know, going out for pilot season energy. So I truly was like, oh my God, I have to grab her immediately, obviously, but also because she's only going to be in town for like 2 days. So I need to make good use of time right now. And then you said, no, I'm based in New York. And I was like, what's that? How is that? How is that possible?
Yeah. Listen, I tried LA, couldn't hack it. It wasn't for me. I am such an East Coast girl, born and raised, and I could not have a longer conversation with an LA. And that's nothing against LA. It's just, I think the people that are there now, I think it's turned into like this like social media haven for like TikTok dancers and a mixture of the arts. And I support it, whatever you're going to do. But New York was the place for me. So I tried it out for 9 months and I came right back.
It's interesting because it used to be you think of like Hollywood, literally yes. TV, movies, whatever else. Stream. Yes. Yeah, I mean, streaming is part of TV, but like all of that. And now it truly is wellness influencer celebrity culture. It's completely. Not even actor culture.
No. And I think New York does that good job of still having that like gritty actor, you know, Broadway. I still feel it here. So yeah. I can't leave. I love it so much.
I feel like one of the good things about New York City focused influencers is that they're all pretty much mad. And I really gravitate toward that. Like everybody's yelling so where they're walking toward the train. Yes. They're making a joke about how much but it's not really a joke about how much they hate it being here. I mean, it feels connective, which I really appreciate.
It really does. We're all miserable together, which makes us happy together. Yeah. Right. In a weird way, because we're going through it. So I just love New York. And so when you emailed me and said, hey, you're going to be in town. I go, bitch, I ain't never leaving. Which I'm here for good, okay? Until they literally kick me out of the city, I'm here.
So I need to ask you about your Watch What Happens experience because, I mean, guys, I can't say, and I'm sure everybody has seen it, but it really was so fun. And especially when you think about how fucking dark this season of Jersey has been. To end, technically end the season, even though we have this like sleepover thing happening next week, like this weird like movie night thing, even though we have that, I mean, Jersey meets Love Island. Even though we have movie night coming, like the fact that we were able to end a really kind of difficult, pretty dark finale with a moment of light on Watch What Happens is somewhat of a miracle. So tell me about how that came to be, how they approached you, how all of that process went.
Yes. So Watch What Happens. I am such a big fan. I just love that it's a fun, interactive show and gets fans able to like get super involved. So I just think Andy is so good at just being so fast paced. It's great. So I've always tried to just be an audience member. So I got reached out to, shout out Carla. She's a longtime follower of mine. And she reached out and she said, hey, I have an extra ticket to Watch What Happens for Shannon's episode.
Does she work on Watch What Happens?
No.
Oh, no, she's literally, she got a ticket.
She got a ticket through a connection. Okay. I think she knew somebody. And apparently it's really not as hard as you think to get. It's not like a lottery. Like, you know somebody who knows somebody and you're able to just put your name in and then they'll email you. But it's a small audience, 20 people.
Right. It's like Rayo's. Like, you have to, like, you, it's not like, they don't take reservations. Yeah. You have to know. Somebody owns a table and then you go in because they own the table. So you're able, it's not like they're going to stop you at the door, but you need to have an in.
But you got to know somebody who knows somebody who knows Carlo, who knows Bertoli, and then you're in.
Right.
So I reluctantly agree only because I think I'd only met Carla one time, but she was so sweet. And so we show up right before they take us into the Watch What Happens. And, you know, she was amazing and she was with her friend and we went up and it was great. And she said, you should ask an audience member question because they're going to do a Q&A. I said, that's so smart. You know, I don't think about these things. So I promise there's a point to all of this, drawn story.
This is not long. This is short for AGs. They're like, oh my God, like, okay. She's speeding through this. My God.
Take more time if you need. So I ask a question. I raise my hand and I go, Andy, I just want to say, first of all, I love you. Like, oh my God. And immediately he's like, oh my God, Andrea Lopez, I love you. And he looks to his producer and he goes, we need to book this girl. We need to book her. I am at this point, I have peed myself. I'm sweating profusely. I am looking around the room like, is this happening? Am I real? And it just meant the world to me because I didn't even think, I thought he saw my videos, but I didn't know that he like really knew me by name. He was like, you went to BravoCon and you dressed as Teresa. Like you, we need to book you. So the second round comes out during a commercial break. He comes over to me again. And he's like, I just want to say, like, you know, I love your videos. Whatever you do is so funny. And I am just thinking there is no way that Andy knows. Like, this is crazy. So I don't think anything of it. But the next morning,
no,
I get an email and I thought, like, if it happens, it happens. But maybe it'll happen next year. You know, in this industry, yeah, things take forever because you got to go through this person and this person. Without a doubt, next day I get an email. Hey, we want to book you for the reunion episode. We tried to get you in with Melissa, but it's too soon. So we're going to do Dolores's episode. And I think I started crying. I was just happy tears. I was just like, wait, oh my God, it's actually happening. I can't believe it. So that is how I got booked. There was nobody who reached out to me. It was me being in the Q&A portion of the audience. I was an audience member. I came from my part-time job, which, by the way, I was wearing all black, dusty ass rusty, and I'm in the clubhouse. And that's how I got on Watch What Happens Live as a bartender.
If you could see my face right now, I am shaken by that. I really thought it was like formal.
Oh, I mean, of course, everyone, that's how we all perceive how this all goes down. But no, it's putting yourself out there, getting knowing it's all about just who you know. Real, I mean, people get booked all the time, obviously, if you're a housewife or you are Danny Pellegrino, who's a longtime author, podcaster. Right. And I've done that, but I'm only like 10 years into this industry, maybe 12, 13. But you got to put yourself out there. You got to make sure you got to just make yourself seen. And that's basically what happened.
Okay, so I have so many follow-up questions for you. First off, what was the response on social? Did your like social explode from that? Like, what was...
Oh, from the experience?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to my Watch What Happens, but I just wanted to show the backstory because it's such a crazy backstory. I have never had a better response from any appearance. Everybody was so supportive. My friends from I haven't talked to in a couple years, even they reached out. Mm. It was so positive. It meant the world to me. The sweetest messages. You know, I went to Twitter and I was like, I can't even believe the outpouring of responses. Everyone was like, he loved you so much. It meant the world to me. So yeah, I've got a bump in followers. I'm doing podcasting. I just booked a daytime talk show appearance coming out in September. Like, things are happening, sweetie.
Who's
I know. I want to tell you guys. I can't tell you yet. Okay, but it's
feel
very...
like it could be Hoda Jenna. I really feel like it. I feel it's like a Hoda Jenna, Kelly, Sherry.
Yeah.
I don't know if J-Hud films here. Jennifer, yeah, Jay,
it's all in that realm. I'm telling you, it's all in that. So that these are all big. These are all like super exciting things.
And was it because of Watch What Happens that you think that? And are they asking you to come in as Teresa or come in as yourself? And during,
and then if
that
you want to bring that wig, if you want to bring that Teresa wig.
Okay, yeah. Wait. So I have so many follow-ups about the experience itself. First off, this is kind of a nothing burger, but I'm always curious. So do you have to show up at the studio in glam, ready to go? Or can you come in like scrubs and they have someone there to kind of spackle you together?
Wouldn't that be nice? You got to come fully glammed up. You are allowed to bring your team, though, for touch-ups.
LOL team. I'd be like, team. Still me.
You should have seen me trying to assemble my team. I was over there at, like, fucking Captain America's little tiny person. I was like, guys, assemble. And nobody's coming to my side. I have so many friends that are, you know, either a photographer or so-and-so's friend is a stylist. So that was me trying to, like, get my team. I wasn't, like, on speed dial. Stylist, hair. I was like... My old roommate in LA is an amazing photographer and content guy. I got him to come with me. I brought the stylist, which was like Teresa's friend, and makeup, which is my best friend's makeup artist in Philly. Like, I truly was assembling a team, and I was treating it like we were, you know, the Incredibles. So I was like,
wait, someone came in from Phily?
Someone came in from Philly, and someone came in from Rhode Island. Like, these are all my friends.
Home state. Boom.
Providence.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
We love.
So I was reaching for the stars. I was like, we got to assemble a team here. So because this is really kind of one of my biggest appearances from my impressions, you know, like I've done acting, I've done coast acting roles, but this is like a really important thing because it was from my impressions and from just posting and doing videos and things like that. So this meant a lot.
Okay. Listen, you looked phenomenal. I'm just thinking the nuts and bolts of that. That's expensive. to like have to.
I don't know how people don't go broke with these appearances. You do not get paid for appearances. You have to show up glam. Glam is upwards of $350. Then you got to get an outfit. You can't be looking all dusty. You got to go and get like this, you know, you can get something from your closet, of course. By the way, I'm sure there's something in this clofus that I could absolutely wear. Amen.
Next time, you'll be back. You'll definitely be back. I don't know if it's Teresa specific.
Hello, I'm seeing metallics. Hello, I see metallics. I see diamonds. I see sparkles. That is Jerseylicious. Absolutely. Yeah. Manolos. Okay. Yeah. So it's expensive. It's real. And they do it all the time.
No, can't do it.
These housewives, I know they get a check, but it adds the F up. It's crazy.
So did you bring like a second outfit? Were you just thinking like, I need to be prepared for any possible emergency, anything? Because once you're there, you're there.
Right. I wanted to bring a full Teresa outfit. So in my mind, I was going through all the archives of Teresa's looks at Watch What Happens Live. And she loves to do these body suits. You guys know.
Yeah.
There's like, she does these like full body morph suits almost style. But they're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, if I hit up one of her stylists, like maybe they can get it for me. But at the time, I think she was in Scotland or she was traveling. Maybe no, she was in Greece. I don't even know where she, you know, she's always globetrotting with Louis.
She is. They go a lot. He's spending her money well. Honestly,
he's
like, having a good time.
Babe, you want to go to Mykonos? And she's like, yeah. Then they get on a plane and they go. I can just imagine them because they're always out of town. But she was out of town, alas. So... yeah, I did not bring a second outfit. I just brought the one. I tried it on. It was the first outfit I tried on. I loved it. I wanted sparkle. I wanted diamonds.
Oh my God.
And that was it.
So what was it like actually being on set? Like, did it, I'm sure it all kind of flew by, but what was that experience like to be actually inside the machine?
It was a dream come true. I'll say that first. Secondly, it goes by so fast. It is a well-oiled machine. You guys know how fast Annie talks. They come in, they've got the producers, they give you the little heads up, but it goes by in a blink of an eye. And I was fully out of body. So I was there. My body was there, yeah. But mentally I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. This is insane. Just do your best. Just pretend like this is, you're on a podcast, you're chatting with a friend, like just do Teresa like you would do. And, you know, you don't get much prep. They kind of just go, hey, we're going to ask you something about this. And then here's the card, here's a game we're going to play, which I've been doing this for a decade. Like I can spew out a voice and, you know, make up something really quick. It's improv. But I definitely was, you know, behind the bar. I was like, take it all in. Sometimes it's so hard to like take in those moments because you're just like so excited. But I was trying to say, take it all in. And they love to lube you up with alcohol. When I tell you the drinks are flowing,
yeah,
you get to your own green room. Everybody has their own green room. And by the way, it's decorated so beautiful. It's got the wallpaper. It's got the big vanity lights. It's got the chairs and the candles, snacks. And everybody gets a drink when you first walk in. And then I don't know what you do if you're sober in there, because they are really just like, have a drink. You want a spritz?
Yeah.
You want a Negroni? Like they've got a full-fledged bar. And then anytime that you're in commercial break, they bring you a fresh new drink so the ice doesn't melt. So I'm slurping down vodka sodas like it's a Friday night in Santorini. And I'm supposed to be like, wait a minute. I'm on the clock. I'm on the clock. Oh my God. I was freaking out. But absolutely amazing experience. Andy was the kindest he possibly could have been. Immediately came up to me, asked me about SNL, asked me about my dreams. And it was unbelievable.
Because he said during the episode, like, SNL, call her.
That was insane. And that's been my goal
since
like I was 12 years old, I knew what SNL was.
Have you ever auditioned for them before?
Auditioned 4 times.
Shut up.
Yes.
Forlorn with popcorn.
Forlorn.
You're in the room. You're on the stage.
Well, there's many levels. So I've sent in 4 tapes. And then my first year, I was brought in to do a live audition, which is where you're with a live audience. Anybody can come to this. It's open to the public. And then sprinkled throughout the audience is a couple producers. And you don't know where they are. And you just do your entire full set. It's so bathos. You have your wigs on the floor and you go, wait a minute. And then you go and turn around and you switch wigs. it's so low peso. I mean, it's low budget. And you're just on this black stage. So embarrassing. And you just turn around and you go, and we're here with a different voice, folks. And everybody's watching you. And very few people laugh because they don't know what you're doing. You don't have a full-fledged team. So I did that for my first year. No surprise there. Didn't get a call back. Okay. Didn't get a call back. And then you just keep on doing it. But you'll hear from the SNL stars. I mean, some of them get really, you know, they're blessed and their first time in, they get in. And some people have auditioned 6 times.
And some people have auditioned 7 times and they never even got asked to come back. I think Jim Carrey, I think he auditioned 7 times or 6, a lot of times, and he was never casted. And you look at him and you're like, how was he never casted? I'm not saying I'm like that, but I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. I mean, it doesn't make a comedian. It doesn't make a performer, but it is also one of those things of like, you want to be nominated for an Oscar. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be on SNL. That is. So do you think that something might, I mean, listen, NBC Universal.
I know, it's under the same umbrella. When he said that, I queefed, I shat, I farted. I was like, oh my God. If I have him backing me up, this is huge. So that I clipped that, and I'm just going to, anytime I'm down, which is a lot, I'm just going to watch that clip.
Oh my God. Now you truly have this like thing. This is the upper of uppers.
Yes.
There would almost be a feeling of like when you reach that point the next day, did you feel any kind of melancholy of like, oh my God, it happened. Like I've thought of this happening and it actually happened.
It didn't hit me until Sunday, the air date.
Wow.
And Watch What Happens Live is live, but the weekend episodes when they're like pre-recording things for after the reunions, those are pre-taped. And I don't know if that's like a secret, but
no,
I think
it's not
people,
a secret. Yeah.
Because people were messaging me like, wait, I thought it was live. And I go, it is.
It is live. It is live.
But they stack. Right. I think he records like 3 episodes sometimes in a day, which is wild because there's so much energy in the show. But it did not hit me until Sunday. The day after, I was like, what? It was just kind of, I was tired. I was like, whoa, that was a lot. But. And then the morning of, I wasn't even excited. I was kind of more like, oh my God, wait, how am I going to do this? But we made it work.
So you have gone so viral because of your impression specifically of Teresa. How did that begin? Like, what's your relationship to the impression of Teresa? And also, what's your relationship as a Bravoholic with Teresa?
Great question. I have always loved the Bravo world. I loved Jersey. I always connect these like big haired Italian women. Even though I'm not Italian, I've just been drawn towards the Italian culture for so long. I think it's similar to Mexican culture, but just big families, loud food. So that was always something I watched was Jersey. Now, I was always doing the Kardashian impressions, and that was my like first inception of like a big viral hit was Kourtney Kardashian.
I looked
at her and I said, she's a great person to impersonate. She's funny. And so I really like went off into that world for a little bit. And then during the pandemic, I was in my parents' basement and I set up this little office. My parents were like, if you're going to live here, might as well like, you know, do something.
Yeah.
I was like, you're right. So I started working on different impressions, and I chose Teresa because I choose people that have very unique ways of speaking. And Teresa is very much like, yeah, all right, it's breathy. It's breathy. She's like, you know, so I was choosing between Bethany. I was choosing Sonia, Teresa. So the first Teresa video I did, terrible, by the way. I thought I was like, all right, maybe I got it. But I recorded it first and it was the worst video ever. I was like, this is the worst Teresa impression ever. But it was so long ago and it was fun and I was just trying it out. But I put it out there and people were like, oh my God, keep going with Teresa. So I kept on working at it. And I think I've been doing her now for 4 years. And it's really progressed. It's gotten a lot better. And now she's probably one of my favorite people to do.
Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. So how do you feel about Teresa as a viewer? Like, are you able to look at her potentially, and you might disagree with this, but like through a constructive lens, or have you kind of built up this relationship with her? It's kind of intimate. Like there's an obvious level of affection that you have for her. So what's the experience like viewing her on TV and seeing her behavior versus interpreting it?
She has a great sense of humor, and that's another reason why I'll always favor her. Mm-hmm. She has let me host shows for her, so we do have a relationship. She totally gets that an impression is more a sign of flattery than making fun. I do love her and I think she's so funny. And even in the early seasons, you'll see people are like, she's so funny because she doesn't really know like the gravity of what she's saying or something. And she allows herself to be silly. And I know that the old Teresa's still in there. I think that the reality TV really affected her. So I give her the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, in the early seasons, she was so much about family and she was like, my four daughters mean everything to me. And she was such an amazing mother. And she went through so much during the whole, like the whole courts and the lawyers. And I can't imagine what pressure that was. So I go back and I see her as old Teresa, despite like I know all the shit that has gone down. And I feel like she hasn't made some right decisions in certain things. But I try to remember that early person that we once saw on Jersey and why she was hired in the first place. The new decisions that she's made, hard for me. I don't agree with it, but as an impressionist, I only pick out like the really good parts and the funny parts. I try to pick out the good things and make light of the situation. So that's my goal.
So noting the like separation that you have, what was your sense of things in watching the finale?
It hurts me. I don't know why she's acting like a certain, it bothers me because I don't even have a side now. I really don't. I'm kind of Switzerland. And I know everybody hates that Dolores is Switzerland, but I don't know. I've met Joe, I've met Melissa, and I've met Teresa. And so now I try to keep it PG with both parties because I wasn't there for so much of it. We think we're there, but we're not there. They're behind closed doors. We really don't know. There's so many conversations that happen that we really don't know. And it's so easy to say, why can't they just get back? Like, it's family, right? Their parents are gone. Joe and Teresa should reconcile. But seeing the finale and seeing people call each other whores and bitch and fuck you, like, it's crazy to me. And I don't think they should be acting like that. I don't think that's, it makes for good reality TV, but I would never publicize that part of Teresa.
How is that separate from who Teresa has always been? Like, she's always been expressive in that way.
Right.
She has always had that kind of
prostitution
streak.
Whore. Yeah.
Yeah, she has. And she's been aggressive and reactive. Yeah. She's been explosive since the first season. So what's the difference here? Because I don't disagree with you. I do think it has gotten a lot darker. Mm-hmm. There are people who disagree with that, who say, no, she's always been this way. I think she's been through a lot of different stuff and had a lot of different chapters and a lot of different like vibes and energies emanating from her. There has been a difference, I think, between her post camp and the Teresa that she is now.
Yeah, I think so too. The progression, I guess I'm very much like the surface level. I just see the surface of it. I haven't delved so far deep into it. But I see her as this person that just was like, I guess I'm going to go on reality TV. We'll see what happens. Oh, my sister-in-law's jealous because she's not on the show. Let's bring her on the show. And then like all chaos happened.
Yeah.
So I just don't even think she knew what she was getting into. I see her as a very naive person and she's open to whatever. And I don't even know if I'm answering the question correctly. I don't think she knew how dark and deep it was going to get into this like hole that they've got themselves in. Because now they're fighting about truly who said what. He said, she said to the lawyers and Bo Dietl and slander case and all this craziness, which really just stems from, I don't know, like, I think people just wanting to put on a really good show. I think people are like, I need to have a good season. I need to be asked back. So they'll do literally anything to get asked back on these reality shows.
Yeah, I also think that the difference with Teresa right now is she knows that she's right. So it's just a matter of people not understanding her or not accepting that she has the truth.
Right.
So if you say something that's different from what the truth is, like that's your own interpretation or we'll make this work, but you're not going to be able to surprise her because she holds the key.
Right. Because she's been in it the longest.
I don't even think it's that she's been in it the longest at this point. I think it's that like she has the quote unquote information. She genuinely thinks she has the dossier. She has the receipts. She has all the answers here. So if you say something that contradicts that or you come out with information, I mean, how can we not be specific with like the Jackie of it all?
Right.
That's still backs up what she is trying to say, which is like, okay, Marge is saying she did not contact this person until the year after the inciting incident, like the original sin for the purposes of Louis being dragged in the media. The original sin appears to be the Warrior video. So right. If Jackie is admitting that she met with this person at her house in 2021, and that's also the year the video was released, and Marge is saying she didn't meet with her until 2022 passed, mm-hmm. That's still connected. It's still obviously Marge's fault. No matter what Jackie did, it still connects with who is the real villain.
Which is Marge.
In Teresa's eyes, it's Marge. Completely. And that is tough to watch. It's hard to watch her process it because she's also the one saying, no, I have all of the receipts and proof and we're just not seeing it.
Right.
Necessarily. Yeah.
And that's why I think at the lunch at Rails, she wasn't really mad at Jackie because she hadn't processed it. That, like, right. Jackie had met with the ex in so much earlier. I need to watch that back, like you. I need to rewatch and rewatch because there was so much going on and I get bogged down with the small details. I go, wait a minute. Now, who reached? It's so convoluted. It's insane.
Well, and the difficulty is this is where we needed a reunion. We need someone to go through the timeline and have the person that they're disagreeing with on the stage. Like, we need to see the tension between someone saying, this is my version of reality, and another person saying, no, this is the actual reality in my eyes. Like, that to me is the missing piece here, because now we're left with questions that I don't know that Teresa understands are still being asked. Like, Teresa thinks that because she subpoenaed Marge, that means that Marge is the one who leaked the video. She's not understanding that, like, quite literally, it's a line, but it's also the truth. She may well have subpoenaed the wrong person. And she's thinking, no, I'm subpoenaing you. And the subpoena is to say that you spoke with the ex. And it's like, no, Marge is admitting that she did that. But the timeline, not to borrow from Heather Gay, but like, the timeline truly backs up that Jackie was involved during that period of time, which is, I think, what the subpoena was about.
Yeah.
I think it was date specific because the date is supposed to be connected to the action. But Teresa's not. She refuses to under. Is it that she refuses to understand it?
I think she likes to have the facts right in front of her. So that's why she has her lawyer with her. That's why Louis is great, because he's like, this is what happened. I'm going to tell you. And I think she needs somebody to just like spell it all out. And then she can fully grasp what's happening. Because I think by this point, she's pulled in so many different directions. She's like this and the ex and then my ex-husband. And like, there's just so much going on. And I can't even imagine her trying to keep it all straight. But I think it comes down to, she had the storyline in her head, which was Margaret, and she's going to latch onto that because that's what she can concretely see in front of her. And then when you bring the whole Jackie into it, she was like, I don't care. I don't care. Jackie, you did it? Oh, shit. You met with the ex? All right. Well, but Margaret, though, I subpoenaed you, and that's who I know did it. And so I just was seeing her like, and everybody's looking at Teresa like, hello, you just got told to Jackie. And it was very confusing for me. I was like, wait, what? And then everybody starts leaving the table and you're like, wait, we haven't solved the thing. Yeah. The keys have not locked in. We need. You're so right. We needed the reunion.
And the difficulty is Teresa then goes on a new path on the after show on Bravo's YouTube. And she's like, and Marge talked to the exes. So now it's more than one ex. And she's saying Marge and Melissa were there with Jackie. It's just tough because, you know, Jackie's dumb enough to like have the ex at her house, but the other two are too smart. So it's still really Marge and Melissa who are responsible for this. Jackie's just like the clown vessel to make this happen, but it's still ultimately Marge and Melissa. And I'm just trying to watch this person do long division, and it's just not. But then the response of the audience is like, yeah, she's a mathematical genius. And I'm just thinking, I mean, not the entirety of the audience, but a very passionate, you know,
tree hugger till they die. Yeah.
Absolute is trying to make this happen. And I just think, wait, so now we're presenting this new version of events. Where is Jackie's role in this?
That's what's so confusing to me. It's like, was Jackie ever going to say anything? If she was never confronted, would she have ever leaked this information that the ex came to her house? I don't think so. And is she ever going to get in trouble for this?
I don't think so.
It's crazy to me. And Danielle's over there like,
What the hell?
I just snorted. I can't.
I just love that Danielle's like, Bodito didn't even search her house. Like, what the fuck? And they're like, she's undetected because she's undetected. Nobody thought that she would be the one. She was undetected. It's like, yeah, you're right. Nobody really did think.
Danielle walking out, and before she walks out, just turning to them and being like, just so you're all aware, you're fucking losers. Like genuinely, like, just so you're all aware, this clown is now a part of you. So you're truly aligning with the person that you're telling us you should be maddest at. This is a joke.
It's, to me, watching Jersey now, it's so confusing and convoluted. And it's, I don't even know who did the wrong thing. I just know that everybody did something wrong and they can't get over it.
Yeah.
I think that's what Dolores wanted to happen at Rails, but it just wasn't going to go down like that. And Jen Fessler wanted nothing to do with it. She was like, I'm out.
What did you think of Jen Fessler leaving?
I was like, girl, this is your event, girl. Go stand by the hostess table, but this is still your fucking event. You best stay your ass down. She's like, this is not me. I'm leaving. I don't do this. Jen, you got to stay for the drama.
It is kind of interesting because I think that there's an understandable reaction of like, look at Jen being ethical. And I get it. It's gotten too low. You don't want to be a part of it. We need to have people be the voice of the audience. There's a huge section of the audience, certainly myself included, that is like, this is too toxic. It's too dark. I don't want to be a part of it. And Jen is quite literally there. So I get it. I appreciate that she has standards and ethics and morals. I totally get it. The other side of it is like the LOL that I saw in Melissa's face, in Rachel's face of like, what did you think was going to happen? You watch a single episode, you watch the first season of New Jersey and it ends with a table flip. So what did you expect? I assumed that the expectation of everyone was you're going to walk in, maybe not there being physical altercations, but right below. You're going to get to that point.
You best know what you're getting into. Okay. This is Jersey house table flipping. You got to know. But yeah, I think Jen, I respect her mature nature. But no, we're seated for the drop. We're seated for this. This is exactly what we wanted to see. We want to see Dolores reaching over to the table, drinking a Cosmo that's been, you know, abandoned. That was my favorite scene. She's like, how did it all come to this? Reaches for the abandoned Cosmo.
Loved it.
Sips it and is dramatic. You know, that's what we're waiting for. But, oh God, it's deep. And Jen Aiden, what'd you think about the boob comment?
I think that there is...
I think we're reaching.
I think that there's a level of laziness to a lot of Jen Aiden's comebacks. And they're rooted in... just kind of a sloppy, you know, there are questions about Teresa and people often just write her off and say like, she's dumb, like she's an idiot, she's not smart. And sure, does she have capacity sometimes to like really understand things in the moment? Sometimes she just genuinely is on a little bit of a 10 second or like 3 week delay. Like that is something that is real. I don't know how much of that is a comprehension thing versus like just being so forthright in her beliefs that it's hard for her to accept that something else might be true, like that is in contradiction. But with Jen Aiden, I'm like, Jen is smart and funny. And it's unfortunate that she really often relies on like the ugliest, stupidest, laziest jokes, which are you're not enough of a woman, he's not enough of a man, and then something having to do with your body. And she does that on social. She last night put up an Instagram story that was just like the brawny paper towels with nothing else. She relies on it so much, and it's sad to me. It shows just like a brokenness in her. But it also just shows genuinely a lack of almost effort of like, you're just going to do these things to be ugly, but they're also genuinely stupid. It's like, like be better. Honestly, be better.
It's too easy to make comments about people's physical appearances. It's too easy. And she also knows where to pinpoint. That's obviously a very soft spot for Danielle. And she doesn't want anybody to hurt her man. Dolores even said they ride for their men. But you know that your husband was dealt with weight issues. And for you to go after that and use that is It's not clean. It's like
She talked about that, her husband dealing Danielle, with
Lisa? Well, she posted this thing, which was like the comeback video where she had the whole photo shoot of
right,
him.
Right.
And in on the video social. On social, and that was her like mic drop. Like, yeah. Well, look at my man. He's proud of his body. And in the beginning, he was like, listen, I dealt with weight issues. I was a really heavy kid and I don't lose weight in like my chest area, but his arms are like massive. He's worked really hard to get to his like desired, you know, weight, appearance, muscles. And so I think that she knew that he dealt with that. I think Jennifer knew that Danielle's husband dealt with that and was like, well, he's got the boobies. Your husband with the boobies. And Danielle, of course, is like, bitch, you have no idea. Like, that's really going to hurt my husband because he dealt with that for so long.
I don't know how to say this, like how to communicate this, but you see this so often. Actually, Danny Pellegrino got into it on social because someone commented on his post about Watch What Happens and was criticizing specifically his weight. Like, a stranger on the internet commented and said her opinion of what he should look like and the fact that she did not like his weight. And of course, we need strangers on the internet to tell us how to change our bodies. Mm-hmm. That's very important that we take the advice of God, because Susan in Texas is like, I need you to gain or lose 10 pounds so that I can like you more, because right. I am, my opinion always matters. It carries more weight, for, I mean, lack of a better word. So he responded to her in a way that was really great. And then he posted on social and was just like, you know, this is the reality when people are, just don't weaponize another person's weight. Do not discuss another person's weight, especially if they haven't asked you, stranger on the internet, for your insight. Like, we get so connected to trying to criticize and weaponize a person's weight. And it's just incredibly dangerous. It's like other things that we have unfortunately seen of criticizing a person's relationship with weight, where first off, you have no idea what that person's actual relationship is. You have no idea. And if you're trying to get closer to a territory of questioning them about something, that's incredibly, at best, unproductive and also truly irresponsible. And to have to defend the way that your body looks because someone is telling you it's not enough is incredibly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And he got into the, like, this is what happens when you go on TV and imagine what housewives have to deal with, where as soon as you go on Watch What Happens, someone's going to post and be like, you're too skinny, you're too fat, you're fat, so that's something that I can use against you. Mm-hmm. You're skinny, so that's something that I can use against you. You're not enough, you're too much. And to focus on that, especially when it's being used against women, as Danny was discussing, against housewives, is really unfortunate. So to watch Jen Aden, who is carrying some sort of complex with her, go through this is one thing. And the other is watching how unbelievably hateful people can be on her social, referencing her children and their bodies, is to me like social media violence at the end of the day. Like, don't come after a child to get at their mother, and do not criticize or describe the body of a minor child. I think that's so inappropriate. But then the other part of it is, Jen, what are you teaching your kids, let alone yourself? If you are doing these things, and then you're having conversations, I would hope, with your children at home, being like, this is how to, you know, be a nice person, is to do these things. Or, you know, kids can be vicious in school. If you are also a vicious child and you're in your 40s at this point, which is not to age shame, but just to say, like, who are you? Are you leading the model of being a bully, like, a specific to body stuff?
But that is what really bothered me. I saw a big reaction from Danielle, but I just was like, Jen, what? You are a mother of a lot of kids. This is like the worst possible example you could set for your kids, is just going directly after somebody's weight when you know that it bothers them. So that really bothered me. But, you know, I'm just saying, in a room full of these horrendous things that they're saying of each other, that one I was like, that's just, you know, call somebody a whore. You know, we're in Jersey. Call them a whore.
Call them a whore.
Call them a slob. Call them a whore. But once you start going into like the deep shit that you know really bothers people, that cuts deep.
I think Jen Eden is kind of losing it a little bit, which isn't to say that she hasn't always been like this, but there was something that I appreciated about her and about Marge, which is like after Danielle threw potentially an imaginary picture, which we'll never see because it was cut from the whatever, right. Marge said at the table, like she shouldn't have thrown anything. Like she said, you know, obviously Marge is not necessarily going to fuck with Jen Eden, but she's saying this shouldn't have happened. And then when the reveal happens about Jackie, Jen Eden is saying like, this is a big deal. She's not just saying it in a confessional. She's saying it in the moment to Melissa.
Right.
Like, this is a big deal. Jackie really fucked up. Like, this mm-hmm. is not good. And in those moments, I was like, see, this is what we look for at points in Housewives. It's unfortunate that it's so rare.
Right.
It becomes so rare in New Jersey.
Yeah. Do you think that women have just become desensitized and the newbies on the show are like, holy shit, is nobody seeing what I'm seeing?
I think that, you know, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is normalized to a certain perspective yeah. on New Jersey. We cannot accept a reality that's separate from what our team is telling us. Mm-hmm. But when you see the breakdown in that of people just processing like as a viewer, as a cast member, whatever else, and you're yeah. not just as a teammate, mm-hmm. that's kind of what we look for. We look yeah. for those moments of like, I know that you're Teresa's soldier. And Marge, I know that you're a soldier against Teresa for yourself. Like, mm-hmm. but also there's other stuff that's happening. And to see you react to it and say, you know what? Actually, that wasn't good what that person did. Right. It's just so fucking infrequent. It's why New Jersey is where it is.
Yeah. I know. And I don't even know what the future holds for it. It's going to be We're halting filming for 2 years. We're not going to mm-hmm. see them back till 2026. Totally new cast. I don't know. But talking with Danielle in studio, or sorry, Dolores Dolo was like, we should have kept it together. Like, now we all got to get jobs, you know? Like,
did she say that during a commercial break?
Commercial. She was just saying, looking around like, and you see now, like,
yeah,
now there's we can't even reconcile this. Like, I was trying to bring us back to a point maybe where we could reconcile securing another season. Like, we enjoy this. And she was just looking around like, and now there's no, everyone's done with us because there was, it just looked like there was no resolution.
Do you think that the other, not to treat them like kids, but like, do you think that they understood that if they did not come together at some point, that their jobs might be in question? Or do you think that they were so hardened with like, it's not about all of us having a job, it's about making sure that person doesn't have a job?
Right. I think they definitely thought there would be some recasting, but they're going to keep some of the members. And I think some of them thought their storyline was strong enough to secure a spot. Mm. But now I think Andy's like, wash the slate clean. We got a reboot here. So I don't think any of them expected that. I think maybe Teresa was like, all right, I'm done here. I'm going to get my own show.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I think there's going to be maybe a limited series where she's with Louis or she's with her daughters. I think Gia's doing a show.
Right. She's doing the show with some of the kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I think will be great. And I think that'll lead to something. But Teresa is too good for TV. And I think the network knows it. I think Bravo is always going to keep her in rotation somehow, some way. And I think she'll be fine for sure.
So
I think they all need some a break though. But what do you feel?
I mean, how do we talk about the Louis of it all in this? How much of an impact do you think he has?
So that is tough. That's one area I don't delve into, especially with the impression of it all. I just say, I love Louis. And that's where I draw the line with even speaking about it. I think he had a lot of influence. I think he's really matter of fact. And when he speaks to Teresa, I hated the conversation they had about Margaret and wishing ill on Margaret's son. He apologized, but in LOL. The same way, he was still blaming Marge. He's like, the only reason I did that is because Marge called. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. You're still blaming people.
Yeah.
We're still not understanding. So I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but I do worry for Teresa's future because I think she goes by his word a lot. And I hope that she has her own moral compass to know what's going on. And I hope her daughters are able to be like, mom, on, you know, on behind closed doors and kind of speak against Louis if it gets to a really dark spot. You know what I'm trying to say?
I don't know that they would be able to recognize it, though, nor should they have to.
I know, right? It's their stepfather, but sometimes I worry. I worry about the where he's steering the ship. I worry but I don't know.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret five S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
I wonder, I think that Bravo realizes he's a liability, but I just wonder, it feels like that's just kind of like the cross that they'll bear mm-hmm. in order to keep working with Teresa. But I just kind of think, I get that, but I also think he's shown us so many times who he is. It's not going to change. It's just going to deepen. Like, the more time that we see him, the more of him will be revealed. This man is not going to change, nor does he want to, nor does his wife want him to. So if we're saying that Jersey is going on pause because it's been so toxic mm-hmm. and people want Teresa to stay, I just genuinely, then what's the point of going on pause? Then just continue filming.
True. So you think that they're looking at them as no longer good for TV, or more that he's more of a liability, so they need to put on pause?
I would question why the show is potentially being rebooted. Because if you're saying that the show is being rebooted mm-hmm. because it's gotten so toxic, and one of the people on the show, the spouse of a housewife, is unbelievably toxic and has done things that are ungodly, unethical, immoral, unprofessional, and some other uns that maybe we won't get into, but because I don't want to, but mm-hmm. You know, I would just kind of question, how can you then reboot and reset with maybe different standards, different parameters, if you're including this person who has steered the ship so, so, so much under the water that there's mm-hmm. like, how are you able to, let's use boats, like, how are you able to set sail once again? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It makes sense if you just want to continue the show with Teresa. Like, right, I get right. it. I understand it.
But it's not just her.
But it's not just her. The ideal of Housewives is the story of these people's lives. New Jersey, to the detriment of New Jersey right now, includes the Housewives' husbands at a pretty significant level with, like, camera time, plot, and strategy. Jersey is built around families. You cannot have Teresa on this show without including her family. You just Correct. Simply cannot. So how do you work around this guy? But he's also a part of her now. He has such an influence. He brings out the absolute worst aspects of Teresa that have always existed. She just feels the support of it, the influence of it, the need to do it, maybe a lack of understanding of what it is that's happening, a defensiveness that she's always had. I mean, I just don't know. I question why the show is stopping now if continues with him.
You're making all valid points. All valid. That's why I feel that they're going to try to do a whole new cast and maybe keep Danielle and Rachel, but they're so interwoven now kind of with this already cast. So we're all going to be like, wait, why are they here? If they're still connected with them, we need a whole new cast. Mm-hmm. I would think. But it's, I don't know.
So like the sensitivity around talking to Louis is because we're watching the same thing, right?
Right, right. I just don't want to get in trouble. I am not going to say anything.
Who?
Just I don't want anything to get back to Teresa or, you know, because I at the end of the day, I'm still, I wouldn't say we're best friends or anything, but there is a possibility I would work with her in the future, and I never want to endanger that either potential opportunity or so. I just let it happen, and I don't really talk about what I think, if it's toxic or not. I just go, you're seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
you're watching the same show,
right?
You know, and that's as far as I usually get. I'm like, well,
it does kind of tell you something though that I think that there is a certain level of discomfort that maybe like super stans also feel about mm-hmm. talking about him. And maybe that's just like the reality for some people. This is very separate from your situation and dynamic, but like of not wanting to criticize or question their favorite or favored housewives' decisions. And obviously choosing who to marry, who to stay with, who to align with is at the forefront at many points. Like, do you deny the reality of what's going on, or do you simply disagree? Like, that gets really complicated, but also it tells you something about how significant his role is and his energy is, that that's such a non-starter. Like, it tells you about maybe Teresa's passion and wanting to defend her husband, but also
what's kind of behind that. Because then I think of the scene with Jim James Leonard and talking about the fact that, you know, she's in more distress than she was when she got,
right,
when she literally was arriving to prison. And that's on Marge. Like, what we need to understand is the pain and distress that she's under and the fact that Marge is to blame for it. And it's just like, let's take a little bit of a moment and talk about the pain and distress, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
And if there's someone to blame, it feels unlikely to open up. I mean, Bravo isn't comfortable talking about it. They ask one question when they have somebody on Watch What Happens. Right. Andy doesn't give his opinion in any way because nobody wants to go near it. And yeah, it's just that for a show that focuses and depends on the audience sharing their opinion, mm-hmm, that tells you something about how dark this is, that people are genuinely at points they're like, afraid.
They're like, I ain't saying shit. Bo Dito's going to come after me. You know, it's, I think people are really, I don't think they're scared because they think they're going to get, somebody's going to go after them or I don't know, a private investigator. I don't think anything like that. I just think that they're like, I'm not even going to approach that because I don't know enough about it. That's me. I'm like, I really don't know enough about it. I know that from what I'm seeing on TV, I know, but I don't really know what Louis is capable of. You know, people are always like, he's capable of so much. I go, what is, I don't know.
Well, he's telling us how capable he is. He's saying he wants children to suffer.
Right. These are words. I mean, it's Jersey. So I'm like, I take it seriously, but I don't take it that. I'm like, okay. I feel like he's just trying to like be tough and put a tough exterior out there. Do I trust him? I don't know the guy. I've met him once. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
this is interesting because I totally disagree. I genuinely do. Because I think that if this same child has suffered because someone called under Louis's number, right, obviously not Louis, just someone spoofing Louis's number to make it look like he would, I don't know, want the child to suffer.
Right.
And then Louis on camera proudly says, I want the child to suffer. He knows that that happened. He knows that it was filmed. The cast, right, probably got the episode, if they did, maybe the day before. Mm-hmm. It's usually like 2 days or maybe the day before. I don't know, because we're in a whole different universe with Jersey, if they even got it before it aired. And then he waits 2 days to put out an apology after Page Six does a whole piece of people being like, he's terrifying. And in his apology, he says it's on Marge. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know that it's bravado because we have so many examples that it's not. Right. The best case scenario would be that it was bravado, but then we would be having a very different conversation than we are now. And I don't think the show would be rebooted. I think that it has come to the point where people cannot film now, mm-hmm, because of this. And is it entirely on Louis? No, I would say it's not. But also, he has such a big influence here, and he's told us that so many times.
Yeah.
At what point do we believe him?
Very true. Very true. I think he's definitely added flame to the fire. He's poked the bear. He's done it all. Like, he really is. Teresa's like, don't poke the bear. But yeah, he really has. And I think he's added to. You know, I've always wanted a husband that kind of just like stays out of it, yeah, of everything. Like, wouldn't that be so nice? You know, Joe was kind of an ass, you know, called his wife a C word. He was always like, oh, shut the fuck up, Teresa. Shut the fuck up. But you know what? He was just there, you know?
I miss Juicy Joe. Right? I miss our like, favorite convict who's not allowed back in the country.
When did we ever think we would say this? But we miss our Bahama man.
Yeah. Bring him back.
Honestly, bring him back.
Like, literally let him in the country because the kids need their father. I feel truly, like it's like been time. But
we're on a practical note.
Like, on a practical note.
Bring the man
allow
back.
Allow him back into the country. Give him back his passport. Right. But like, also, yeah, and he was a terrible husband. So what does it say that there are a bunch, right, of us who are like, at least he was funny at points.
Right.
I mean, we didn't have to be married to him. And that's, right, not fair to Teresa to be like, this man who obviously did not treat you well, who treated you very poorly, entirely possible since the day you were married, if, yeah, not before. We miss this guy who you were in a very toxic relationship with. Right. But also, we didn't know what toxic was back then.
Right.
Three
we really
ago.
Did it. We did it.
Now we know, and we're like, we don't want
damn,
this.
Damn, we don't want to take it back.
We don't want it
back.
We don't want it.
It is crazy to me, and women have a type, let's say, of men, right? But when I used to look at Teresa and I would look at Joe, her brother, I actually really thought he was a great guy. He's a great father. You know, Joe speaks out of his ass sometimes. He's always talking about a man's penis size and whatever. He's an Italian bravado macho.
Enough.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he's probably got a small penis though. And you're like, Joe, stop. You know, Melissa's like, oh my God, Joe, stop. Like, it's so classic. We've seen it time and time again. But I wonder with Teresa having her brother as kind of like, and having an amazing dad, you know, she talked so highly of her parents and their relationship and they were married for years. And I don't think her father ever spoke to her mother like that. So when I see Teresa's choice in men, I'm always like, come on, get a guy that worships you, that loves you in the right way. I know Italians, they're very high tempered. They'll say stuff and then they take it back and they're just, it's high energy, it's passionate. But I've just always wanted a better guy for Teresa. I've always hoped for that. Louis ain't it.
Yeah, I loved Nona and Nono, love them forever. But we also don't know what their childhood was like. We really don't know how they were as parents when these kids were going up, the roles that they were expected to have. Teresa has said repeatedly she was expected to sort of be Joe's second mom, clean up after him, do these like sisterly duties.
Right, you're so right.
And like the gender dynamics there with the Italian culture. I'm a pizza bagel, so I'm half Italian. I'm nowhere near the Gorga level of Italian, but there's stuff there that like, I just don't think we've seen.
Yeah, you're so right. There's definitely a history that we have no idea about, and that could explain so much. It could. Kills me. It kills me. I want Teresa to be happy. I want her to actually be no man. Mm. Can she, you know? Just live your life with your four daughters.
Can I ask you a couple questions as Teresa?
Oh my God, yes.
So Teresa, you're on vacation right now. You just celebrated this week your second anniversary with Louis. How are you feeling? Are you still in the honeymoon stage?
Oh my God, I'm so tan. Louis and I are so tan. Ribbon, have you seen the pictures? We're getting like bronzed. We're just enjoying our time together. And it was like so much like toxicity with the everybody. So I'm just so happy to be with my love, love, love. We love traveling together. We get to like eat. We go to clubs. Like we have so much fun. And I'm like so in love.
Gia just signed on. She's filming this new show, this reboot with the kids of Bravo Lebs and Housewives. How do you feel about that?
I'm so proud of my daughters. I'm so like I'm snorting so hard. I can't do it. When people ask me like what am I proud of, they're always like, oh Teresa, like you're not that smart. I go, look at my daughters. Like I raised them right. I'm like, that's something that I did. You know what I mean? So I'm so excited for Gia. She's so smart. You know, she's going to be a lawyer. Like, what? She's following her dreams. So I'm excited that she gets her own time to, like, you know, get recognized for everything that she's doing. So you get to see, like, the inside of her life and stuff. Mm. And I think she's having fun. Like, you know, I want her to do what she wants to do. So she was like, Mom, I want to be a part of the show. I said, do it.
Jacqueline, you and Jacqueline have repaired your friendship. How are you guys feeling? Did you ever think that was possible?
No, but you know, Jacqueline, she called me up and we went to lunch and then we went shopping. We just had a girl's day. You know, I don't know if the relationship is back to what it was, but at least there's no like in bad blood. So, you know, she'll call me sometimes, you know, we're friends, but she's just living a busy life. She lives in Florida. So, right?
She lives in, I think, California. I think she moved from Vegas to California.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Same. Close. By the beach. Yeah. I was over there. Yeah. So I forget. But no, like, what I mean is I'm not seeing her a lot. But when I'm over there on the West Coast, I'm going to say hi and, you know, we'll spend time together. Yeah.
How are you and Jackie doing? What was your reaction to the finale reveal that Jackie had one of Louis's exes over for lunch?
Oh my God. Everybody's coming after me for this because I was like, oh, I'm not. Okay. Yeah. And then they brought up the sprinkle cookies. There was like, oh, but that's okay. But this, we're still on the sprinkle cookies. I was like, okay, listen, first and foremost, I subpoenaed Margaret. I didn't subpoena Jackie. So that's in my mind. I was like, no, but Margaret is the one that really is, you know, the head of all this. You know, Jackie shouldn't tell me. It's like she shouldn't have done that. But it didn't bother me because she didn't really do anything about it. She just had the ex at her house, you know. So everybody was like, oh, my God, it's so bad. It's bad, but it's not as bad as Margaret, who I subpoenaed. Mm. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be friends with Jack. Like, you know, she broke the relationship. She broke the trust. I should have never trusted her from the start, but whatever.
What's a subpoena?
The subpoena is when with the supper.
Yes.
Exactly. No, it's when somebody's penis is getting involved with somebody else's penis and then they sub in it. No. I know what a subpoena is. I'm messing with you. That subpoena. Subpoena is when you serve the papers. Yeah. And you saying, hey, you did this. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been talking with my lawyer, Jim, you know, and he's telling me, you know, we're going to serve the papers. We're going to put a subpoena out. So I've been dealing a lot with subpoenas. Subpoena here, subpoena there, subpoena everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Love. Love, love, love.
Love, love, love that. Look, it's not fun to serve papers. I don't like doing it.
Right.
You know, a subpoena is serious. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
I'm done with subpoenas.
Yeah.
Put an end to subpoenas.
Put an end to subpoenas. What do you think about the future of Jersey? What are you hoping for? Do you want to come back to the show? Like, what's your future look like?
I'm glad we're taking a break. I think everybody needs a fresh breath there. I think everybody needs to chill out. We all need just like namaste. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what Andy's going to do. I think, you know, I got a lot of tree hugger support in me. They want to see me back on their TVs. You know, I've been there forever. I've shown so much in my life. It's like, why stop now? Mm-hmm. We're just getting to the good part. You know, my daughters are all growing up. Like, it's going to be juicy. So, you know, whether or not they bring me back as a housewife, I don't know. But I think we really need a refresh. It's so toxic. Like, I think they need to do something. But I'll always be on TV, I think. Yeah. I think so. I mean, Andy loves me. I mean, you know, I've given my all to this.
Right. You have. You've sacrificed a lot.
What haven't they seen at this point? Mention it all.
Mention it all. You ended, you know, the season and this kind of chapter in your life at a pretty tough point with Melissa and Joe. Do you think that there's the possibility in a couple years, several years, a long time down the road where you guys could circle back to each other again, be a family again?
You know, everybody asked me this. Mm-hmm. It's really tough.
Yeah.
It's so much like drama. It's like, you know, they always start in dramas and I'm just done with it. I just want a better life for my daughters and me and Louie. And I just don't think that that's a part with them, you know? Maybe if they get on the right medication, we can talk. Maybe 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But for right now, no. The bond is broken. I know I say family is everything, but not when your family acting like that.
Yeah.
So now it's just my immediate family.
Do you know how to spell napalm?
Oh my God. I will never live this down, right? Napalm. Oh my gosh. I know I was like N-A-P-P. No, listen, I know how to spell napalm. I have a dictionary in my house. People are always after me. Oh my God. Why are they always after me? I don't know. They just like to see me like, you know Andy loves playing games. Mm. He loves asking me if I know how to spell things. I'm like, Andy, stop. Andy. But you know what? It pays the bills.
It does.
So you just play the game.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Any closing remarks, Teresa, on anything that you want us to feel about your life or the experience of being, you know, Bravo viewers, potentially Team Tree Huggers, or maybe not, maybe Gorgita Crunches, however we're feeling.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Gorgita Crunches is Team Melissa. I'm a Gorgita Crunch.
You're a Gorgita Crunch. I'm going to take this outside. You want to fight? From the Tree Huggers to the Gorgitas. Listen, Gorgita Crunch. That's funny. Okay, look, I love my time on Jersey Housewives. Mm-hmm. I've given everything. You know, you guys have grown up with my daughters. It's been tough. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but I'll never take it back. You know, I think I've grown. I've learned so much about myself. And I just, you know, I want to say thank you. It's a lot, you know, and I think we're here for the better. Mm-hmm. It's really hard watching back all those seasons, but I think that this isn't the end. I think it's just a refresh. You guys wipe the slate clean sometimes. So, you know, you guys see I'm better than ever. I just want you to know that like who's right in this situation is me. You guys, I've shown you. I subpoenaed. I've shown you the facts. I got the receipts. Mm-hmm. Like Louie's like showing everybody what happened. So I don't want anybody to be mad at me anymore because I've been clear.
Wow, Teresa, thanks. And you know, I never thought you would come on Andy's Girls. So this has been really incredible. Oh, thank you so much.
Why? Because you're a Gordita Cruncher? Yeah, oh my God. No,
I'm a nice person. Like,
yes,
I've got a big heart and I always see people's sides. And so if you want to side with one person, that's fine. I just want to have time to speak my piece. So thank you so much for having me on. I love you. Oh my God, Andy's Girls. That's a cute name. Really, I love it. It's really nice. I always thought I was Andy's girl too. So, but anyway, look, oh my God, we're getting off topic. Look, I love Jersey. I love Bravo. I love Andy. I love Louie. I love my daughters. I love you guys. And on to bigger and better. Namaste.
Namaste, Teresa. Here's what I need to have happen. Yeah. Here's what, and listen, Teresa is absolutely not listening to this. God help us if Louie is. Here's
God
what,
help us. I was already going through my head like, okay, cease and desist.
No, subpoena. We're all good. It's a difference of opinion. These are not facts. That's just our opinion. Yeah. Here's what I need to see happen. Okay. Teresa just launched her new podcast pretty recently.
Yes.
I need you to go on her podcast as Teresa and have her interview you as Teresa. I was thinking about it in my head while you were doing a masterclass for all of us.
Oh my gosh. So like it would just be this and this,
but literally
what do I think about this?
100%.
Whoa.
Would that not be incredible?
I'm so bad at pitching myself. Truly. I need to be better. I need to grow a pair of balls and just reach out.
100% you just do.
DM. We do DM, and I talk to her social team at times because, you know, like I've said, I've hosted shows with her, but I really need to be more assertive and be like, this is a great idea. Let's do it.
Let's talk offline about maybe I can help with
iconic.
Some of the that.
Yes.
no, I'm ironic considering what I've said on the podcast.
Now, first of all, right. I'm like, do you really want to hear this? All right.
No. We can make that happen.
Yeah, we can make it happen. I know I've got to hit the circuits. After Watch What Happens, I've got to use the time wisely and do that.
Can I just ask you before we wrap, and this episode has been absolutely iconic. There's a question that I ask folks when they come to the Clawfest, when they come on the pod. And it's, you know, you are always asked, who's your favorite housewife? You know, what's your top five? And that's an endless kind of conversation that I love.
Totally.
But my favorite question to ask is, who's your spiritual housewife? Like, who's the housewife? They could be your favorite, but they might not, that you genuinely identify with. And that could be someone who behaves in a way that you feel like you wish you did, or behaves in a way that is connected to you in a sense of like, oh God, I know I do stuff like this. And now they're doing this thing that I hate that I also do. Like, it's a little bit of your housewife astrological sign. Instead of me being an Aries, I'm a Shan. You know, like,
totally.
Who do you think your spiritual housewife is?
Initially, and I may go back home and be like, damn it, I should have said something else. But the first thing that jumps out at me is Dorinda sometimes.
Oh, great.
Dorinda, because I think she loves a lot of different people. She loves being kooky and like decorating the house. And she's so all about like the moment, the celebration. But then also she can kind of get sometimes sloppy and say like clip, clip, clip. Like she's down to get a little dirty, but prim and proper. There's many sides to her. I have many facets about me. Probably why I do so many impressions, because I have so many different personalities that I love to like grab here. And then today I feel like this. So I would say it's Dorinda, because I think she has so many sides, but I know I'm going to regret saying that. And not in a bad way. Like, I love Dorinda so much as a person, but I feel as though I need time to like, you know, really sit with this and think.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you one follow up?
Yeah.
Which, and this is maybe slightly more complicated.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you have, and I'll give you mine. Do you have a trigger housewife? Someone who you like just think about and you get viscerally upset? I have two. I have two historically, and there are probably more. Danielle Staub and Diana from Beverly Hills, it's hard for me to think about them because I just get so filled with like.
Yeah, probably Danielle. I think that's a lot of people's, because she is so like spicy, and she will just rip hair out of your head.
Yeah.
And she's done so much. Great housewife to watch, though. She makes for the drama, sweetie, but she's tough. I would be terrified, actually, to be in a ring with her. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm gonna die today.
No, it's gonna be
I'm gonna die today.
No, she's gonna win, but there's always gonna be a cost.
I'm fidgeting because I have to pee. Don't mind me.
Please listen. I think, you know, this has been just really an episode for the ages. Thank you so much for making the schlep to the Upper E to come into the Clough.
Absolutely. I love the Clough. I would live and die in here. It's fabulous. You are fabulous. I If I said anything wrong, subpoena me. Okay, write me in the DMs. I didn't mean to. I'm so open. I want to hear everybody's sides. And I'm even confused by this season, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I can't even fully grasp what happened. So hope I didn't offend anybody. And love, love, love.
Well, end on the high note. Love, love, love.
It does tell you something. I know that this season has been, talk about a trigger housewife. I know that this season has been triggering to a lot of people because it's just been at points really, really tough to watch. But there is value that can still be found from that. Like, totally. And in having tough conversations and in doing this thing that's seemingly impossible to do specifically with New Jersey, but to just sit in a little bit of discomfort of like, yeah. I totally viscerally disagree with this person's opinion or that person's opinion, but I'm still able to have a conversation about it. Even if it's a conversation in my head, like that still counts.
Totally.
Just because the housewives can't do it doesn't mean we can't at home. And that's
the beauty of Bravo. Is the beauty. And I think these housewives really bear it all. And it takes a lot because you got to be strong. You got to know what you're saying because it can be taken in so many different directions. So I applaud them for that. But yeah, it allows us to be outside and kind of looking in and give our own opinions. And I think that's why Housewives is so popular and it has so many fans.
100%. Listen, speaking of fans, where can AGs follow you on social? Can you tell us a little bit about your pod?
Absolutely. I'm at Andrea Lopez Comedy on TikTok and Instagram. And every Thursday, a new episode comes out with my co-host, Anna Roisman. It's Big Wigs Podcast. We talk a lot about our auditions, what we're doing, what new shows we have coming up, and then, of course, our commentary on pop culture. And our last segment is usually an interview as our impressions. So Anna's big ones are Bethany Frankel, Eladia Baldwin. She does Julia Fox. And then usually it'll be something that they're doing in the news. Like Julia just came out with a book and then she'll be interviewed by myself doing an impression. So there's a lot of impressions in there. That's what the name Big Wigs comes from, because we met doing impressions and we love our wigs. So if you want to hear a wild interview between Kristen Cavallari and Julia Fox, then like hop on the Big Wigs train. You know what I'm saying? So Kris Jenner and Kourtney Kardashian are also often very much guests, a part of the show. So they give their takes. And it's just a fun show with lots of voices.
I love that. And Kourtney Kardashian, I just can't get enough of like her energy. It's just so fascinating.
It's IDGAF. I do not give one single fuck. That's what the energy is.
We love that.
We love that. I've never been able to fully embody that ever. So many fucks that I give too many fucks. I fear that I give too many fucks.
You know what?
I try to let it go, but I can't. So, and Kourtney is the queen of unbothered energy. Don't touch me.
Love it.
Yeah.
So into it. Guys, you know what else I'm into? When you sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon, it's the number one way to support the pod. There is a bonus episode out now with your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone from Scary Island, about all things New Jersey and the future of Franklin Lakes. I heard from so many of you after the finale, so it was a joy to deep dive many of your satchels. And P.S., if you want to send me a satchel, would love to read it and potentially unpack it on a future Patreon episode. Slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley. And again, you can listen to that Patreon episode and many more at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. You know what I was thinking about doing, which I'm going to do, I think, today. So maybe I'll save it to highlights because I don't know that it'll still be there when this episode goes up. I want to do a bunch of polls because I did this at the end of Vanderpump Rules post-Scandoval season, where it's like, how are you feeling? Safe space. Whose team are you on? Future of the pod, and just go through the cast. So I think I'm going to do that. So follow me on IG because I'm really genuinely curious about how people are feeling these days. So that'll be something to unpack.
It's so interesting because everybody has a different opinion.
Yes.
So I am dying to know.
Yeah, same. All right, guys. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this episode. Andrea, thanks so much for coming to the club.
Thank you, guys. It was so fun to chit chat. Oh, my God. We went deep.
We went deep.
It felt really nice. Thank you so much for having me.
And if anybody is listening, just remember, you know, the real takeaway from this episode is Louis is incredible. And we love him so, so much. So thanks to all of you for agreeing with that. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.